Okay, so get that we're diving into the Indus Valley civilization today. You think ancient Egypt is old. These folks were building cities while the pyramids were still blueprints.
And not just any cities. We're talking urban planning that would make a modern architect blush, grid systems indoor, plumbing the works.
Yeah, it's like they skipped a few chapters in the civilization textbook, right? But here's the kicker. We can't even read their writing. Imagine a whole civilization's thoughts locked away in a language we just don't understand.
It's one of history's greatest unsolved mysteries. Thousands of inscriptions on seals, pottery, even tablets, and we're left deciphering symbols without a Rosetta Stone in sight.
So how do we even begin to understand these people? I mean, we've got these crazy standardized weights and measures. It's like trying to assemble a puzzle with half the pieces missing.
But that's the beauty of it. Each fragment, each artifact is a clue. It's like forensic anthropology piecing together a culture from the dust of time. And what we're finding is a civilization that was both incredibly advanced and surprisingly egalitarian.
Egalitarian.
How so? Well, one of the most striking things about the Indus Valley is the absence of what we typically associate with powerful civilizations. Grandiose palaces, monumental tombs, or imposing statues of rulers.
So no bragging rights for the big guys.
Apparently not.
That's wild. It makes you wonder how their society functioned. Were they ruled by a council, a priesthood? Were they just incredibly chill and conflict averse?
That's a question that keeps archaeologists up at night. But think about the implications. If they weren't obsessed with showcasing individual power, what were their priorities? The evidence points to a society that invested heavily in public works, sophisticated drainage systems, standardized infrastructure, and a level of urban planning that suggests a highly organized central authority.
It's like they said, forget the fancy palaces. Let's make sure everyone has clean water and working sewers. That's a society I can get behind.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just about practicality. Their art, even the smallest pieces, show an incredible attention to detail. Take, for instance, the tiny steatite seals. They depict animals, intricate patterns, and these mysterious human-like figures that hint at a complex spiritual belief system.
And we've got a picture of one of these seals in the source material.
Oh, really?
It's barely an inch wide, but the detail is incredible. A bull with these beautifully rendered horns and a muscular hump. You can practically feel the artist's hand bringing it to life.
Exactly. And remember, they didn't have magnifying glasses or power tools. This level of craftsmanship on such a small scale points to a deep appreciation for aesthetics and a mastery of their craft. It's like they saw beauty in the smallest details of life.
It's like those tiny, incredibly detailed Japanese rock gardens,
Yes.
but in seal form. Okay, so we've got a society that's organized, technologically advanced, or artistically gifted, and seemingly pretty egalitarian. What's not to love?
Well, here's the rub. They disappear. Around 1900 BCE, the Indus Valley civilization goes into decline. Their cities are abandoned, their sophisticated infrastructure falls into disrepair, and their once thriving culture fades from the historical record.
Wait, what? They just vanished. What happened? Did they get Thanos snapped out of existence?
If only it were that simple. There's no single smoking gun. Some researchers point to environmental changes, like shifting river patterns that disrupted their agriculture. Others propose invasions from outside forces or internal social upheavals. The truth likely lies in a complex interplay of factors, a perfect storm that brought down one of the most advanced civilizations of its time.
So it's a cold case, an archaeological whodunit. And the key to solving it might just lie in cracking the code of their mysterious script.
Precisely. Imagine the stories those inscriptions could tell. We might uncover the reasons behind their decline, learn about their beliefs and social structures in detail, and gain a deeper understanding of their worldview.
Okay, I'm hooked. We've got to crack this code. Let's delve into the mystery of the Indus script, the tantalizing clues we have, and what we might uncover if we could finally unlock its secrets.
Let's do it. The answers might be closer than we think, hidden in plain sight, waiting for the right mind to see the patterns and connections.
All right, after a quick break, we'll explore those tantalizing patterns and try to piece together the enigma of the Indus script. This is getting good.
Indeed, it is.
All right, we're back and ready to tackle this Indus script. It's a little intimidating, kind of like staring at an alien language.
It is a bit daunting.
But I'm trusting you to be our code breaker here.
I'll do my best. What we have is a script that's primarily logographic, meaning each symbol represents a word or concept. Think Egyptian hieroglyphs, but with a dash of Mesopotamian cuneiform thrown in for good measure.
So picture this rows of these beautifully stylized symbols, like abstract animal figures, geometric shapes, and what look like plants.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. On seals, pottery shards, even tiny tablets. Like they wanted to leave their mark on everything.
And they did. But unlike the Egyptians who thoughtfully left us the Rosetta Stone, the Indus people haven't given us that bilingual key. We've tried comparing it to other ancient scripts, analyzing the frequency and placement of the symbols, and even using computer algorithms to find patterns.
There are no easy answers.
Not yet. Adding to the challenge is the brevity of the inscriptions.
Okay.
Most are just a few symbols long, like cryptic messages on a postcard.
So what's the working theory? Are we dealing with a language completely isolated from anything we know, or could there be links to later Indian languages?
That's the million-dollar question. Some scholars see potential connections to the Dravidian language family, which is spoken in South India today. Others suggest ties to the Indo-Aryan languages that form the basis of many North Indian languages. But without a definitive decipherment, it remains a hotly debated topic.
It's like trying to guess a song from a few scattered notes, right?
Yeah.
You might catch a melody, but you're not getting the full symphony.
Yeah.
So if we could crack this code, what would be the jackpot? What kind of secrets are we hoping to unlock?
Well, imagine finally being able to read their personal seals. We might learn individual names, occupations, even family relationships.
Wow.
Imagine piecing together their stories from these tiny fragments.
It would be like having those ancestry DNA results.
Exactly.
But for an entire civilization, we'd be able to trace family trees, track migration patterns, and maybe even get a glimpse into their daily lives. Sign me up for that.
And that's just scratching the surface. Deciphering the script could reveal details about their religious beliefs, their social hierarchy, their understanding of the natural world. We might even find clues to explain their sudden disappearance.
Okay, I'm officially obsessed. But let's get real here. Cracking this code seems like a long shot. What if we never figure it out? Are we doomed to wander the halls of history with only half the story?
Not necessarily. Even without a complete decipherment, we can still learn a great deal from other aspects of their culture. Take, for example, their standardized weights and measures.
You mean those perfectly cubical chert weights we saw earlier? What can a bunch of ancient rocks tell us?
More than you might think. They're not just tools for trade. They're a window into their worldview. The Indus people had a sophisticated understanding of mathematics and geometry, and they applied that knowledge to create a system of weights that was incredibly precise and uniform across their vast civilization.
We're talking different units for measuring different types of goods,
right?
Grains, metals, precious stones.
Exactly. And they used a base 8 system for their weights.
Okay.
Which suggests a different way of thinking about numbers and proportions than we do today.
It's mind-boggling. And it wasn't just about practicalities, right?
No.
This standardization also speaks to their desire for order.
Yeah.
For balance, for creating a system that worked efficiently and fairly?
Precisely. It's a theme that runs through so many aspects of their culture.
Right.
From their urban planning to the meticulous craftsmanship of their art.
It's like they were obsessed with creating harmony, both in their physical world and their social structures.
Okay, I'm sending the connections here. But let's dive deeper into this idea of order and social structure. How did these folks govern themselves without those big, flashy palaces? Was it a council of elders? A benevolent dictatorship?
Well, let's explore the evidence and see what we can piece together.
It's a fascinating puzzle, and the answers might surprise you.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So no palaces, but we've got these incredibly precise weights and measures.
Right.
It's like they channeled their inner Marie Kondo centuries before she was born, everything in its place perfectly organized.
It does make you wonder about their leadership, doesn't it? How do you manage a civilization this vast, this sophisticated, without the visible trappings of power we see in other ancient societies?
Exactly.
Were they just naturally tidy people? Or was there something more to it?
Well, the uniformity of the weights and measures isn't just about tidiness. It suggests a level of central authority and social cohesion that's pretty remarkable. Think about it. To standardize a system like this across such a wide area, you'd need a shared understanding of values, a common purpose, maybe even a sense of collective identity.
So instead of one king with a crown, they had a shared vision.
It's possible.
Like a civilization-wide agreement on, hey, let's make things work smoothly and fairly for everyone.
That's a compelling theory, isn't it? And it's not entirely without precedent. Anthropologists have found examples of societies where power is distributed more diffusely, where leadership arises from consensus and collaboration rather than brute force.
So maybe they were the ancient world's ultimate team players.
Perhaps. And if we look at their urban planning, that idea of shared responsibility becomes even more intriguing.
Yeah.
The grid system, the advanced drainage, the standardized brick sizes, it all points to a society that prioritized the collective good over individual aggrandizement.
It's like they were saying, forget the pyramids and palaces. Let's build cities that work for everyone. Kind of makes you wonder what they would think of our modern cities with all their traffic jams and inequality.
Indeed. And it's worth noting that despite their technological sophistication and complex social organization, we see very little evidence of warfare in the Indus Valley.
Hold on, a civilization that thrived for centuries without waging war? Is that even possible?
It certainly challenges our assumptions about human nature, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, the absence of evidence isn't always evidence of absence. It's possible there were conflicts we haven't uncovered yet.
True, but still.
Yeah.
If they managed to maintain peace for so long, what does that tell us about their social structures?
Right.
Their conflict resolution mechanisms, mm-hmm. their worldview.
That's the mystery, isn't it? And it's one of the reasons why deciphering their script is so crucial. Those inscriptions could hold the key to understanding the inner workings of their society, the values and beliefs that allowed them to create such a seemingly harmonious civilization.
Okay, so maybe they weren't perfect pacifists, but they were definitely onto something.
Yeah.
Imagine if we could unlock the secrets of their conflict resolution strategies. Think of the applications in our modern world with all its political divisions and global tensions.
It's a tantalizing thought, isn't it? And it highlights why the Indus Valley civilization continues to fascinate us. It's a reminder that there are other ways of organizing society, other ways of relating to each other and the world around us.
It's like a glimpse into an alternate reality.
Yeah.
A civilization that took a different path and maybe stumbled upon some solutions we've been searching for centuries.
Exactly. And even if we never fully decipher their script, the Indus Valley civilization remains a powerful testament to human ingenuity, adaptability, and the enduring quest for a more harmonious existence.
All right, so we've established that these folks were organized, peaceful, mostly, and ahead of their time in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget about their artistic side. We talked about those incredibly detailed seals. But what else can their art tell us about their culture?
Well, it's important to remember that art isn't just about aesthetics. It's a reflection of a society's values, beliefs, and aspirations. And in the Indus Valley, we see a fascinating blend of the practical and the symbolic,
okay,
the mundane and the divine.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of art are we talking about besides the seals?
Well, they were master potters creating a wide range of ceramics from simple cooking vessels to elaborately decorated jars and bowls.
Right.
And the motifs they used on these pots animals, plants, geometric patterns, often echo the imagery we see on the seals.
So there are these recurring themes, these visual connections that suggest a shared visual language.
Precisely. And it's not just on pottery. Mm. We see similar motifs on terracotta figurines, copper tablets, even carved into the stonework of their cities. It's like they were weaving a tapestry of symbols, a visual narrative that permeated every aspect of their lives.
And what do these symbols tell us? Are they purely decorative or do they hold deeper meaning?
That's where things get really interesting. Some scholars believe these symbols represent deities, mythical creatures, or even astronomical phenomena. Others see them as representations of social status occupations or clan affiliations.
So it's like a giant visual puzzle with each piece hinting at a deeper layer of meaning.
Exactly. And until we crack the code of their script, we're left to interpret these symbols based on their context, their placement, and their relationship to other artifacts. It's like being a detective piecing together clues to unravel a long-lost mystery.
Right. I'm picturing myself in a fedora magnifying glass in hand, examining pottery shards for hidden messages.
Right.
But seriously, it's incredible how much we can learn from these visual cues, even without a written translation.
It's a testament to the power of human creativity, isn't it? How even in the absence of words, we find ways to express ourselves, to communicate our beliefs, and to leave our mark on the world.
Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive, there's one question I can't shake.
Yeah.
We've talked about their decline, the theories about climate change invasions and internal collapse. But what about their legacy? Did they just vanish into thin air? Or did they leave a lasting impact on the cultures that followed?
That's a great question. And it's one that takes us beyond the physical remains of their civilization into the realm of ideas, beliefs, and cultural influences. The Indus Valley civilization may have faded from the historical record, but its echoes can still be heard in the tapestry of South Asian culture today.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me some examples. What kind of echoes are we talking about?
Well, let's start with their most tangible legacy, their urban planning.
Okay.
The grid system, the emphasis on sanitation and public works. These ideas didn't simply disappear with the Indus cities.
Right.
They were adopted and adapted by later cultures, shaping the development of urban centers across the Indian subcontinent for centuries to come.
So those perfectly laid out streets and those ingenious drainage systems, they weren't just a flash in the pan.
Not at all. They were innovations that proved their worth, ideas that resonated with subsequent generations and helped to shape the urban landscape of South Asia long after the Indus cities were abandoned.
It's like those urban planners were way ahead of their time, leaving behind a blueprint for sustainable city living that's still relevant today.
Precisely. And it's not just about bricks and mortar. The Indus people's emphasis on standardization, their sophisticated understanding of weights and measures, and their intricate craftsmanship, these too had a lasting impact.
So those tiny seals and those perfectly cubical weights, they weren't just pretty trinkets.
Not at all. They represent a tradition of precision, a reverence for order and balance that found expression in various art forms and technologies across the Indian subcontinent. Think of the intricate carvings of Hindu temples, the complex mathematical calculations used in Indian astronomy, even the delicate patterns of traditional textiles.
Wow, I'm starting to see the connections. It's like the Indus civilization planted a seed and its ideas continue to blossom and evolve in new and unexpected ways.
Exactly. And while we may never fully understand the complexities of their belief system, the recurring motifs we see in their art,
right,
the animals, the plants, the geometric patterns,
yeah,
these too have found their way into the iconography and symbolism of later religions and cultures.
So those enigmatic symbols, those visual clues to their worldview, they weren't just forgotten.
Not at all. They were absorbed, reinterpreted, and woven into the rich tapestry of South Asian culture, becoming part of a shared visual language that continues to resonate today.
It's like their story didn't end with the decline of their cities. It continued in the art, the architecture, the ideas, and the beliefs that they passed on to future generations.
Precisely. The Indus Valley civilization may be shrouded in mystery, but its legacy lives on a testament to the enduring power of human creativity and the interconnectedness of cultures across time and space.
Okay, I'm officially mind blown. I started this deep dive thinking we were going to solve a historical puzzle, but it's so much bigger than that. It's about understanding our own place in the grand sweep of history, recognizing the threads that connect us to the past, and appreciating the enduring power of human ingenuity and resilience.
Beautifully said. And it reminds us that history isn't just a collection of facts and dates.
Right.
It's a living, breathing narrative that continues to shape who we are and how we understand the world around us.
All right. I'm ready to grab my passport and book a flight to Mohenjo-Daro. But before I do, I have to ask, if you could go back in time and ask the Indus people one question, what would it be?
That's a tough one. There's so much we could ask. But if I had to choose, I think I'd ask them about their concept of time.
Okay.
How did they perceive the past, the present, and the future? Did they see themselves as part of a continuous flow of history, or did they have a different understanding of time's arrow?
Wow, that's deep. It makes you wonder if their understanding of time influenced their approach to life, their social structures, even their art.
Precisely. And it's a question that transcends the specifics of the Indus Valley civilization and touches upon one of the fundamental mysteries of human existence. Our relationship with time and our place in the grand scheme of things.
Okay, I'm officially adding ponder the nature of time to my to-do list.
Yeah.
But for our listeners who are just as captivated by the Indus Valley civilization as we are, where would you recommend they go to delve deeper into this fascinating world?
That's the easy part. There are some fantastic museums with collections of Indus Valley artifacts and a growing body of research available online and in libraries. And if you're feeling adventurous, maybe even plan a trip to see some of these incredible sites in person.
I'm already packing my bags. Thanks for this incredible deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
It's clear that the Indus Valley civilization still has a lot to teach us, even after all these millennia.
The pleasure was all mine. And for our listeners, keep exploring, keep questioning, and never stop digging for those hidden treasures of knowledge.
And on that note, we'll see you on our next deep dive. Until then, happy exploring. All right, I'm still reeling from that idea that the Indus people might have had a completely different concept of time than we do.
Yeah.
It's like they were operating on a different wavelength, a different rhythm.
That's a fascinating thought, isn't it? And it highlights just how much we still don't know about this civilization. But even with all the mysteries, one thing is clear. The Indus Valley people were master storytellers.
Okay, I'm intrigued. But how can you say that when we can't even read their script?
Think about it. They didn't need written words to weave compelling narratives. Their cities, their art, their very way of life, it's all a form of storytelling.
So instead of writing on parchment, they wrote on the landscape, on pottery, on those tiny seals.
Exactly. And the stories they told weren't just about individual heroes or epic battles. They were about harmony, balance, and the interconnectedness of all things.
It's like their entire civilization was a giant collaborative work of art, with each element contributing to a larger narrative.
And it's a narrative that continues to resonate today. Think about the enduring appeal of the Indus Valley civilization. It's not just about the archaeological discoveries, it's about the stories we tell ourselves about them.
You mean the stories about a peaceful, egalitarian society that thrived for centuries without waging war?
Yes, and the stories about their ingenuity, their technological advancements, their artistic mastery. We're drawn to the Indus Valley civilization because it challenges our assumptions about what it means to be human, what it means to build a civilization.
It's like a mirror reflecting back our own hopes and anxieties about the future. We see in them a civilization that achieved a level of sustainability and social harmony that we're still striving for today.
And perhaps that's their greatest legacy, the story they whisper across the millennia that a different way of life, a different way of relating to each other and the world is possible.
Okay, I'm feeling inspired. It's like they've given us a roadmap, a set of guiding principles for building a better future. But if their civilization was so successful, why did it ultimately decline? Is there a cautionary tale hidden within their story?
That's the question that haunts archaeologists and historians, isn't it? And while there are no easy answers, I think there are valuable lessons to be learned from the Indus experience.
All right, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
What kind of lessons are we talking about?
Well, first and foremost, it reminds us that even the most advanced civilizations are vulnerable. The Indus people were masters of their environment, but they were ultimately dependent on it. And when the environment changed, whether through climate shifts, natural disasters, or human-induced degradation, their carefully constructed world began to unravel.
So a reminder that we're not invincible, that
Right?
we're ultimately part of a delicate web of life.
Exactly. And it's a lesson that's particularly relevant today as we face the challenges of climate change, resource depletion, and environmental degradation.
It's like they're saying, hey, we were pretty good at this whole civilization thing, but we made some mistakes. Don't repeat them.
Precisely. And their story also reminds us that change is inevitable. Civilizations rise and fall, empires crumble, and new ways of life emerge. The Indus people were incredibly adaptable, but they weren't immune to the forces of history.
So a reminder to be flexible, to embrace change, to learn from the past, but not be bound by it.
Exactly. And finally, I think their story reminds us of the importance of storytelling itself. The Indus people may be gone, but their story lives on, passed down through generations, inspiring us to ask questions, to challenge our assumptions, and to imagine new possibilities.
It's like they've given us a gift, a story that continues to unfold a mystery that invites us to become part of its ongoing narrative.
And as long as we keep asking questions, keep searching for answers, and keep telling their story, the legacy of the Indus Valley civilization will continue to enrich our understanding of the human experience.
Well said. It's been an incredible journey, a deep dive into a civilization that's both ancient and surprisingly relevant to our modern world. Thanks for being such a fantastic guide.
The pleasure was all mine. And for our listeners, remember, the Indus Valley civilization may be a mystery, but it's a mystery worth exploring. So keep digging, keep questioning, and keep those imaginations firing. Who knows what incredible discoveries await us just beneath the surface?
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, happy exploring.